dunks were just always dunks.
I have a bunch of them.
Everyone always dunked.
I think that one of the best, the most underrated dunks in the history of the NBA is the Tom Chambers dunk.
Oh, my God, with the knees in his chest?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that dunk, is unbelievable.
But that was already, by that time, you already had the Dominique effect.
Right.
You already had the Jordan effect. Yeah. You'd already got, Dr. J had taken off, and you had Daryl Griffith, Dr. Duncanstein, and David Thompson, who was just a brilliant dunker of the basketball. But like earlier than that, like the late 70s, the mid to late 70s, I was just starting to go to games. It was a big deal when Artis Gilmore would catch it and turn around and slam dunk. And as a kid, it was so cool. Meanwhile, it took longer. The 3-point shot and the 3-point contest. That's when you sent your designated specialist to represent you.
Here's Craig Hodges.
Here's Trent Tucker. These were guys who had this special skill. This is what they did. It wasn't just something that everybody is now expected to do as a part and parcel of a complete NBA game. Every team had a couple of guys that were your long-range bombers, your guys who could do that. And it wasn't just the
just
shape.
A guy.
It was just this guy.
Yeah.
Right? This guy on team shoots three. And it's different now. That is definitely different now. Even though there are people who are better at it than others, Damian Lillard has turned himself into Steph Curry all of a sudden.
He has, and his team's not very good. They are going to do some rock and jock stuff, though, with this, right? That's the one thing that interests me is that they're adding in kind of a rock and jock where
the 3-point.
You get an actual 3-point shot for a 3-point shot if you want to step out and into Trae Young land.
Now we got to do the analytics and say, are you better off if 3 is more than 2 when 3 is more than 1? Is the math better at that distance to shoot only those shots?
I kept wondering this week, like, is Steph good enough to compete? Like, could Steph theoretically be healthy enough to come out and do a round?
Probably. So would Durant.
I mean, the issue would be getting from rack to rack, right? I mean, that's the time that you'd have to waste.
Motorized scooter.
Hobbled, yeah, right. Well,
I mean, I'd love to see him try it.
I'd watch that.
Wouldn't that be great if like, all of a sudden next Thursday, they were like, so we got two more entrants into the 3-point contest.
By God, that's the Undertaker's.
Oh my God, it's Kevin Durant's music.
Let the record show, I made that reference because it's been so sufficiently memed.
I've never seen it. Not interested in it at all.
Don't know who he is. Don't know who the announcer is.
But the zeitgeist is penetrated and it's there.
Good old JR.
I know that's your dude, right?
He's Boomer Sooner.
I'll take your word for it.
He posted a match from, I think, 2001. It was Tajiri versus Rob Van Dam, one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. You guys don't care about that, but there's someone who remembers that match that remembers how spectacular it was.
That's fine. We did 10 minutes on Pacoda today, so.
Oh, okay, good. Good. Well, great. Today on the show, I'm going to do some stuff. I'm excited because now that NBC Sports Chicago has dropped the Kyle Long podcast I did with him, that I can now take some pieces and share them with the Score audience and share some of the fun stuff.
I saw him on my walk to work today, actually.
Giant man.
You were right, though. He does. I mean, he's not kidding. He's dropped down from whatever he was.
I think dropped like 80 pounds. But that's what's scary is that he's dropped 80 pounds and he's still a giant.
Yeah, it happens awfully fast. And that's why these guys, what the toll it takes on their hearts or cardiovascular systems to maintain, it's not right. It's not healthy.
So I'm going to share some of it coming up around 12:40-ish. And what was cool is one of the people that Kyle, like the person that he talked about the most in helping him kind of get through this season and so far the really early parts of retirement is Olin Krutz. I'm going to have Olin on at 1 o'clock to talk about post-retirement because Olin's doing some cool stuff with whether it's MMA fighters or former NFL players and former soldiers that go train with him.
Oh, wow.
I want to say this in the right way. He's starting Fight Club, but in a positive way. Like, that's what he's doing. And so Kyle actually really, really likes what Olin has already done for him.
Olin's halfway house for the over-aggressive.
I mean, it's true, and it's worked out. So we're going to do that. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball on the show today. I want to get Rick Camp's thought. He's so offended about the, how dare you say that about the three-point contest? This is where everything comes from. No one cares. We see guys doing stuff like this every night in the league. Now just go out there and do whatever crazy dunk you want.
Yeah, the Clippers hit 24 threes last night.
Have you ever looked at the numbers, like, historically of like, take a guy like Reggie Miller, for example, and look at his threes attempted versus just regular guy.
Versus NBA player.
It's pretty spectacular.
It's now your just job. Tweeted, D'Angelo Russell has been traded to Minnesota for Andrew Wiggins.
Whoa,
wow.
A 2021 protected first, a 2022 second round pick. The Warriors are sending Jacob Evans and Omari Spellman, who are bums, too.
Whoa.
The Timberwolves have lost, what, 17 in a row? Or Carl Anthony Towns has lost 17 in a row.
Jay, I just want to give Jay's contribution. He said this will help their screen game.
It will. Jay's right. Absolutely
is Jay sticking around to talk about how bad the officiating was in the Blackhawks game last night?
Yeah, we were going to do it, but we ran out of time if you want to pop him on.
It's just real bad. Bad stuff.
They got hosed.
That is Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. They're here every day from 9 a.m. until noon. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you from noon until 2. You're listening to WSER and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the new Welsh Ryan Arena with Northwestern Basketball. Remaining games and home opponents include Illinois, Michigan, and Minnesota. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Did Jay leave? I actually did want to just pop him on for 2 minutes. Go grab him. In the rundown, we'll just have him say how bad the officiating was, and then we can just go on from there. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
And then the owner tells you, look, there's a new way that you're going to have to consume Cubs baseball on television. We want you to get on the phone with your provider and tell them that you need Marquee. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I definitely want to watch the Cubs game and I want to watch Marquee, but I got to do a telethon now? Then the Cubs are like, you know how we were renovating Wrigley? Yeah, we went over budget by $500 million. Is that going to affect what you can spend on the players? No. Those are separate piles of money. Then it's, remember Chris Bryant, how much you loved him? He won a World Series? We might have to trade him. Well, why? Well, because this luxury tax thing, we can't really afford to pay him. Well, wait a minute. When I said a second ago that there's $500 million, you said it was a different No. That money is not this money. So I get it. I get what you're saying. You don't want to pay him $30 million. Well, what about free agency? Well, what are you going to do there? Oh, we're not going to really get any free agents. Well, why not? Well, we don't have the money. Well, wait a minute. I was just asking you about the $500 million, and you said there's a different pile of money, and then you're probably going to trade Chris Bryant because he costs too much money. So you're not going to do anything in the offseason other than maybe trade Chris Bryant? Yeah, that's what we were thinking. Sign me up. That's what's happened to you over the last 12 months as a Cub fan.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
I figure since everyone has a one-man or one-woman show, there was mine. My one-man show of having a Cub fan talk to the Cubs and the Cubs talk back. I think I nailed it, to be quite honest with you. I'm Lawrence here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a lot of fun stuff to do on the show today, including having a conversation with Olin Kreutz. I'm going to let you get a sneak preview of the podcast I did with Kyle Long. I can't give you the whole thing because I want you to listen to it on the Under Center podcast, but I'm going to give you a little bit, give you a little taste so that you can go and listen to the whole damn thing. We're going to have a lot of fun on the show today, but we start the show as we start all things with the rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
Here's your rundown for Thursday, February 6, 2020. There were two games of original six teams last night. Blackhawks on a back-to-back, same as the Bruins, were taking on the Bruins. And this happened with 1 minute left in the third period.
Got ahead by Crew, got by one, finessed it on through while falling. Still up for grabs.
Bird's gonna go.
He shoved down Mata, and here's a shot. And it is waved off. A conference in the referee's circle.
So there is going to be a penalty on Torey Krug right here on Olli Mata. That's the penalty.
On the point of the whistle had gone. Minor penalty to Boston.
So the officials have said that there is a hand pass by Olli Mata. It looked like it maybe grazed his stick. I bring in NHL rules expert Jay Zawoski. What the hell was going on with the officials last night?
Well, this aside from that play, they were bad the entire game. There were several major potential penalties that they just ignored.
They missed the cross check.
A cross check as time expired on Kirby Dach in front. Connor Murphy got boarded. Adam Boqvist got boarded and injured because of the board. They were off the entire game. The Alex Nylander penalty that he was called for was totally ticky-tack and ridiculous. And then Ryan Carpenter gets some misconduct for being mad that they didn't get a high sticking penalty on him. It was just a terrible performance from the referees all day. Then Jonathan Toews says after the game, yeah, the referees admitted they made a mistake. Then the league today says, nope, nope, they got it right. It was a hand pass and it was right to be blown dead. So it was a disaster. No, the Hawks probably didn't deserve to win that game. They came out for the first 30-35 minutes and played timid and scared.
A little sluggish like the Minnesota game, too.
Yeah, they're afraid of losing points because every point is critical right now, and they had gotten that second point. They had the best team in the league beaten despite not playing well, and it was taken away from them on a totally ticky-tack bad call.
All right, stay right there. So then we go into overtime because the game's 1-1 instead of the Blackhawks winning 2-1, and then this happened.
Krejci able to bring it back in. He's got DeBrusk with it. Gave it on to DeBrusk. Red one in front. They score! The Bruins win it in overtime. Charlie McAvoy. McAvoy with his first goal of the year. Just after the power play to the Blackhawks had ended and the Bruins have won it and taken over first place in the league.
Highlights courtesy of NBC Sports Network. Jonathan Toews said this about the referees after the game.
What was the explanation you got from the officials on that last whistle that
was bad? He said it was his mistake.
They owned up to it.
Yep.
All right. So, Jay, so the Blackhawks get 2 out of possible 4 points over the last couple of nights. If I'm looking at the playoff chase, where do the Blackhawks stand and how good are their chances, in your opinion, to getting one of those wild cards?
They're 2 points out of a wild card spot right now. They've got a lot of games left with the teams they're chasing and the teams that are right behind them. But they've got to come out and play better than they've played in these last two games. They've had opportunities to take 2 points and they failed to do it. And these, when you're a team like the Blackhawks, like I said last question, every point matters. And early in the season, they let so many points go that they should have had that it feels like every time they lose one, it can be fatal. They've got to get on a roll here. They've got to start winning games in regulation against division opponents. That's your best bet. But the trade deadline's on the 24th. They've got 3 key players that are unrestricted free agents: Crawford, Leonard, Gustafson. They've got to do something. Do they move those guys or do they keep them in hopes of making the playoffs and then lose all 3 of them for nothing? It's a crucial 3 weeks.
Jay Zawoski, where can people listen to your Blackhawks podcasts, plural?
You can listen to me every day, Monday through Friday, on Locked On Blackhawks. And you can listen to me a couple times a week on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
With James Naveau, our guy. And you can hear Jay on the I'm Fat Podcast with Rick Camp. Jay, thank you very much. We move on to NCAA basketball. Down at Hinkle Fieldhouse, they put a bucket up near the roof because they had a hole in the roof. It was a 13-minute delay, but it was worth it because that game was incredible.
Here's Baldwin. Don't settle deep. 5. Baldwin. Step back for the win.
Money is right. Gus is still great on these. Basketball calls, he's still great on them. Butler beats Villanova 79-76 is the final. Butler, the only team that DePaul has beaten in the Big East because they only have 1 win in the Big East after starting 12-1. On to football. Kansas City had their parade yesterday. There was a guy getting chased by the police through the parade route. They stopped him. There's a guy who was naked that fell out of, well, not, he was half naked, who fell out of a tree. There's a lot of drunk stuff going on. Patrick Mahomes is shotgunning beers that people are throwing to him from the crowd. And then someone gave Travis Kelce a microphone.
That memorial up there, I see everybody up there in that memorial. Don't nobody know we represent and honor every single veteran that went to war for us in World War One.
That's right. Now, there's a World War One memorial museum that's within eyesight of where he was. He was doing the Can You Dig It stuff at the beginning of that thing.
Can you dig it?
So, here's my question to you. Do you think that he knows where that comes from? Or does he think the etymology of it is from Shaq, not knowing that Shaq got it from the cult classic The Warriors, which is a little over 40 years old now?
60,000 soldiers. Now there ain't but 20,000 police in the whole town. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
I made Mel watch that movie a couple weeks ago. I was like, if we're going to be married, you got to see this. And she enjoyed it, I think. I think she enjoyed it. But Herbie, do you think Travis Kelce has seen the Warriors and understands that's where the Can You Dig It comes from? Or does he think that Shaq originated it?
I think Travis Kelce is not a culture vulture. He understands where things come from and the etymology. I believe he's from Cleveland Heights, which Shaq told me keeps it real. Yeah, the culture is represented well there. So he understands what's going down with the African-American, Mexican, Latino culture.
Campy, do you think that Travis Kelce knew where Can You Dig It came from?
No.
This texter says he got it from Booker T. That's also a good place to steal it from.
Can you dig it?
Suckers. All right. I think that he probably got it from Shaq. Although he is a big wrestling guy. So the Booker T thing is pretty good too. That's pretty good too. That's probably where he got it from. Five times. World champion, Booker T. All right. That is your rundown for Thursday, February 6, 2020. There's a lot of stuff that I want to talk about on the show today. And as I promised you, around 1240, I'm going to share some of the Kyle Long podcast that I did with him for NBC Sports Chicago. It's really good, and I'm looking forward to having a follow-up conversation with Olin Krutz about it at 1. Olin said he'll jump on, and I wanted to ask him some stuff about the Super Bowl and the Bears, but I really want to spend some time talking about what happens for players after they're done. But there is some NBA news. Campy, for the people that are like, wait, there's trade deadline activity? It's not the Bulls, but what happened? Who got traded? Why does it matter?
So Golden State traded D'Angelo Russell to Minnesota for Andrew Wiggins, a 2021 first round pick that is top three protected. Otherwise, they get it no matter what in 2022. And a 2022 second round pick. The Warriors also sent a couple of guys for filler salary, Jacob Evans and Omari Spellman, along to Minnesota. So that's huge because Karl Anthony Towns has been very unhappy. The new GM or president of basketball operations in Minnesota, Gerson Rosas, is a Daryl Morey disciple. And if you think about who's someone that plays a similar style game to James Harden, D'Angelo Russell's pretty close. So you're helping out Karl Anthony Towns getting his friend. You're just shaking up the roster for a team that's been god-awful. Karl Anthony Towns hasn't been part of a win since before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he now has tied the record for most consecutive losses by a number one pick with Michael Olowokandi, which is something you don't want to ever have your name associated with.
And this is just intriguing as hell for next year for the Warriors, because you have your pick this year, which is going to be really good. You're getting, you would assume, a Minnesota lottery pick next year. Plus you have whatever Andrew Wiggins is, which, you know, if he's just what he's been, it's still an albatross of a contract. If they can fit him into some sort of role and make him almost like what Harrison Barnes was.
Maybe with the